very much. Thank you both.
Oh, yes.
Big drummer and the big bugler. Thank you. If you have your Bible, I'd ask you to turn, please, to Acts of the Apostles in chapter 5. And also to Romans chapter 12. And I'd like to explain this to you a little, because I want to be in both places at once. But I'd like to tell you about the history of what Paul is saying. All of us love. We all have the capacity to love, and we think we know what love is. We like to tell people that we should love one another, and we tell one another that we should love without condition. Our love for each other, especially for the Lord Jesus, should be unconditional. Now, those are great big words. And love to us is a meaningful thing, but it has certain connotations that don't mean very much at all. I love Katie's hat. I just enjoy looking at ladies with hats on. I really like the look at the hats. As a boy in church, we used to gather up all the nasty little creatures that die in churches. They are found in the gallery, and they're found around the corners of the floor where the janitor never gets. And we used to put those things in the various speaking pipes of our speaking organ. And the great to swell, when they pulled the lever out to make a great lot of noise, would pump all these wonderful creatures that were dead and quite harmless, but they would float them through the congregation and they would land in people's heads on their hats. When the pastor said, "Let us pray," there were showers of blessing and all sorts of things happened. And of course, I wasn't responsible. It was the other fellows that did that sort of thing. It was interesting. I love hats. Well, I love cars. No car should be above yay high. It should be very long and go very fast, and there should be no restrictions, and we should have lots of fun with cars. Of course, that's not so, but it used to be. When I was younger, there was no restriction on how fast you could go in England, and many a time in those funny little English roads where we were between two walls of stone, there was a car doing the same thing you were doing in the opposite direction, and somehow we squeezed past each other, and nobody was actually maimed for life. We had some exciting times, but that's all. And yet we've got people looking after our well-being, but I still like cars. So I can say I love cars. I used to grow and used to enjoy growing. Can't think what I grew. Those exotic flowers, what are they called? Orchids, thank you. I used to grow orchids and love the things and had lots of them. And they were beautiful. I loved my orchids. Now that's ridiculous, isn't it? You can't love all that. Look at the child and you say, "Child, you're in the cradle, I love you. Child, you're crying, your mother loves you." We use the word love very carelessly, and the Apostle Paul wants us to know that he wants us to understand love. Now he says, if you go to chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1, I beseech you. Verse 9. He says, "Let love be without dissimulation." If you have the Authorized Version, that's what it says. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, hold fast to what is good." If you have the New English Translation of the Authorized Version, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." Now, what in the world is dissimulation? And the word is translated for us in the New King James Version as hypocrisy. What's hypocrisy? Oh, we all know what hypocrisy is. It's what you are and I ain't. I'm not a hypocrite, but I could sure be there pretty quick. If I think about things quickly enough, I could be very hypocritical just as you and I can. Only we know how hypocritical we could become. And I want to tackle this. John Effingham said the other day to me, he said, thanks for tackling difficult times, difficult things. Well, some things are very difficult to tackle. None of us are hypocrites, they are. Who are they? Well, them. And them? Well, they're they. How many theys and thems do we have as hypocrites so that we can say that we're hypocrites, or they're hypocrites, or them are hypocrites, or something like that? And we get ourselves terribly confused because we are hypocritical. If someone walks up to you and says, you're a hypocrite, the immediate reaction is to say, no, I'm not. Ah, but wait a minute. Maybe you are. And if you take a moment or two to look at your heart, you might find you are a hypocrite. If you take just long enough to look at this one verse, and we're not going beyond it, but if you take the time to look at this verse in Romans 12, you will discover that we are to abhor, that is, we're to get away, we're to loathe evil. And we're to do more than that. We're to grab hold of the things that are good and hang on to them, no matter what the cost. Hang on to good. Get rid of evil. Now, it's much easier said than done. So I want to read you a story. And I want to read it to you from Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4. We start this in verse 32. Verse 32 of chapter 4 of Acts of the Apostles reads like this. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as everyone had need. But Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the disciples' feet. Now, some of you have been doing some land transactions. I don't suppose you've brought it all to the feet of the gospel. Then we get into the next and the rest of the story. Now, see, up to now, we've got purity. We've got transparent love. We've got wanting and needing for everyone to be as well off and as well looked after as the other. We're sharing, according to this scripture, so far, we are sharing what we have, that everyone is in the same boat at the same time together. Whatever the need is met. But the other side of this. Now let's read it. Verse 1 of chapter 5. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? while it remained, was it not your own after it was sold? Was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. The young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. It was about 3 hours later when his wife came in. They didn't have cell phones. You understand that? About 3 hours later, his wife came in, and not knowing what had happened, Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." And then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her out, buried her with her husband. What happened? Great fear fell upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. I think there'd be a great fear in this congregation if the same thing happened. Excuse me. Now, let's see what the teaching is. Let's understand something. Ananias and Sapphira had a discussion. Now, I'm going to liken it to this. This is not scriptural. This is a Cyril Stevens makeup. But they had a little discussion. We got a piece of land and we're going to sell it. We bought it for $10,000. We're going to sell it for $50,000. Now, we'll tell Peter and the other apostles that we sold it for $30,000. And here's the money. After all, they didn't have $30,000 when they started, and the conversation started with us giving them $30,000, and we've got our $10,000 back and $10,000 profit. We've doubled our money. That's pretty good. Everybody else was giving all that they had. So now they bring the money, and you saw the picture that was painted in front of us. Ananias says, "Oh, I've got 30,000 to leave you here, Peter, today." And the congregation are sitting there. They're pretty impressed. $30,000 is a lot of money. Thank you very much for blessing us. Because we've got a few people over here or there in the congregation who are pretty impoverished, and we're sharing with them so they can get a leg up, they can get a foothold, and they can get on with the economy of their life and become what is with some people already in this congregation. They can get up and get on with their lives. Here's $30,000. That's a lot of money. But Peter perceives this is not true. He perceives that these people are loving the world as well as loving the congregation. And he sees the difference. Peter says, "Why did you bring this $30,000? Well, that's what we paid, what we got for the land." Well, in a way, that's true. It's like sometimes if you're driving, you'll see a sign that says 55, and you look down, you're doing 65. Well, you're doing 55, aren't you? Plus 10. But you are obeying the law in that the car is going 55. You're only breaking the law a tad. You've just gone beyond the law, and that's only 10 miles an hour. Get away with that. And so we push the envelope. And here, this is exactly what they did. They said, "Look here's 30,000. And Ananias said this to Peter, "It's 30,000, it's yours. It belongs to the believers in this group. Praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah." Isn't that lovely? Peter said, "No, because you're lying to the Holy Spirit." Ooh. Do we lie to the Holy Spirit? Let me ask the question. I believe we do sometimes, most times, oftentimes. We pretend one thing and we act as if we're very benevolent towards our brethren and sisters, and yet we could be more generous, we could be more kind, we could help much more than we do. I spent time with an accountant this week. I didn't want to spend time with accountants. That's a waste. They waste my time like the IRS does. But if I don't spend time with the accountant, the IRS will talk to me. I don't want the IRS talking to me. So I want to get away from that. So I talked to the accountant. And he looked at me at one point in our conversation. He said, "You can't do what you're doing. You've given away more money than you've earned." I said, "Well, I know that, but it doesn't really matter. That's what I do." But that doesn't justify to the IRS. We've got to make this justifiable to the IRS. I said, "It's very simple. Tell them." He says, "You can't tell them this. They don't believe it." Well, that's not my problem. So we're trying to work out how to solve my problem and their problem and his problem. And when I started the conversation, there wasn't one. Nobody had a problem. In my mind. It's curious how we lie to the Holy Spirit. We say, "I'll look after my brother. I'll look after my sister. I'll look after my friends in the church. I'll love them. I'll pray for them." We're encouraged to pray for one another, to bear one another's burdens. And yet we see a brother in need and we don't meet it. And we pat ourselves on the shoulder and say, "But there's money in the bank." That doesn't matter. It's not our money. It belongs to the Lord. It is for the Lord's work. That's why we have offerings, so that we have money for the Lord's work. And we need to look at this very carefully. Sapphira comes in. They've buried her husband Ananias, and he fell dead at Peter's feet. And they carried him out and buried him. You have to understand, in the East at that time, especially, I made fun of the cell phone thing, but I would remind you that a body doesn't stay dead for long without stinking. And so they bury very quickly, especially with the lack of refrigeration in those days. They soon buried the body. So he's buried. In comes his wife Sapphira, and Peter says, "Hello, did you sell your land for 30,000? "Oh yes, for 30,000. He said, "Why do you and your husband have this thing that you agree to cheat God?" Now, while you had the field to sell, the land to sell, while you had it, it was yours to do what you liked with. But now you've got the money, you're in charge of that money, and it should be in your heart to give that money to the Lord. She said, "Well, there's the 30,000. Didn't he bring it in?" "Oh, yes," said Peter, "he brought it in." But that's not the point. The point is, it's all or nothing. And you will be carried out like your husband was and buried. Now, if this were to take place in our day, we'd have the CIA, the FBI, the local police, the state troopers in the congregation. I wouldn't mind if that happened. We could preach the gospel and see salvation come to such people. Maybe. But if it were to happen here, would it change your mind? All that I have, all that you have, all that we have collectively and individually is not ours. It belongs to our Lord. And we should be able to say, "Everything I have is His." We should be able to say that whatsoever we have belongs to Jesus. In our prayers, Renee and I often say, We want to thank you, Lord, for all we have. We thank you for this meal. We thank you for this bread, this butter, etc. We thank you for those things in the small portions they are, but we thank you for everything you have allowed us to have. Everything we thank you for. Why? Because it's not ours. It's the Lord's. It's very important, I think, that we understand this. The woman is carried out and she is buried beside her husband. And as she is buried, there is a great fear that comes upon the people and upon the church and upon all who heard these things. The word dissimulation means without hypocrisy. The hypocritical attitude was, I want everybody to know that I'm giving to the church. We had a man in our congregation that, not this congregation, another church, constantly boasted. He put the carpet in the church, he put the pews in the church, he put this in the church and that in the church. He was very generous. What he actually did was, he went to the carpet company and he said, I have a deal. I have so many places to put your carpet. I have 10, we'll say 10 places. I don't know what the number was. We have 10 places to put your carpet. And if I put the carpet in 10 places, I need carpet for one free. It's for our church. Instead of saying, the company that produced the carpet has blessed the church, he said, I gave the carpet to the church. He would do things like that, and it would be awful to me, and it would be so aggravating because he was lying. He was telling a truth but a lie. And we all get involved in this with the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit, and we let people think we're clever. But love is to be without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is such a poison. How do we use the gifts of the Spirit if hypocrisy is in our hearts? True love must leave the stage and get into the real life. Don't you realize? Don't you remember? Haven't you been taught? Hasn't someone showed you that your body, your whole being at this point, has become the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. You belong to Jesus. We sing sometimes, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. If I believe that truly, I am all for Jesus and not for self. We encourage young people, go to the mission field. Go to Timbuktu. Go to the other side of the world. Go and help people that need houses. Build them for them if they don't have one. We encourage our young people to help those that are disadvantaged. Yet, we withhold. We withhold. We need to come to the place where we understand this temple of the Holy Spirit is the place where God is love and dwells within us. And this love of God, which is greater far than anybody can imagine, is on exhibition in us. But the hypocrisy sometimes clouds the vision. You ever been in a car? English cars are notorious for this. They do something, they've learned from Americans how to put air conditioning in, but they've not perfected it by any stretch of anybody's imagination. When you're driving and the weather climate changes, you may go through a cold vein of air. The inside of the windshield will steam up immediately. And if you're in traffic or going quickly, you suddenly are restricted in vision And you have to get your vision back very, very quickly. I will say this, they've got a massive fan of some sort somewhere in the dashboard. If you can find the right button to push at the right time, it will clear the windshield. But until it's clear, you suddenly are without vision. Not just a mist, without vision. When we were on our little vacation, we came into Jackson Hole. Leaving Jackson Hole, we got into a lot of snow on the mountain pass, and as we were going down the mountain, suddenly we had no vision. Those Englishmen don't know about other climates other than England. And in England, we've got so used to having terrible windshields that we clean them once a moment. Every moment we clean them in the bad weather. So we're used to suddenly having no vision, and we wipe them off with our gloves or our fists or whatever. It's a nuisance, but they don't cure the problem. Americans have got it all cured. And they should copy the Americans. Wish they would. We lose our vision. And our vision gets occluded in a split second if our love is with hypocrisy. Somehow we've got to wipe the vision clear so that we can see clearly what the vision is. We have to learn and remind ourselves of one thing that we don't like to talk about, and that is that the Bible says we have to hate something. Now, the word hate is, one lady said to me one day, I'd spoken about this, she said, that word hate is a very strong word. You should not use it. But the Bible says hate evil. Don't dislike it. Hate it. Give it no room. No room at all. It was a funny day. I won't share all of it with you, but I'll tell you. Excuse me. I'll tell you the part of the story that was very funny. And a German aeroplane was hit, and it crashed at the end of our road. Now, all the young men, that is anybody under 50, down to 18, they're all gone to war. And the rest of us were on vacation. It was summer. And this airplane, we watched it coming, and its engines popping and banging and exploding. And eventually it crashed on the football field. And it was the most incredible thing. It was like something out of the 1500s, of the French Revolution. All the ladies in the road grabbed everything from pitchforks to kitchen knives and went tearing up the road. And when they got to the end of the road, here's this plane laying in its belly, still smoking and popping and banging, and the fellows were getting out, the pilot and navigator and whoever else was there, couple of gunners. There were either four or five of these fellows. All of them had sidearms. And they were getting out of the aeroplane, all banged up, looking pretty miserable. And I went along. I was about 12 years old, 13 maybe. And I went along. I had to see this that was going to happen. My mother was there. She was not quite 5 feet tall. And you should have seen the rage in that woman and all the other women. And they ran up the road, and they got to the field where this plane was, and then they all stopped, and they were menacing with a knife stuck out in front of them. Now, just imagine all you ladies, you fellas, lean back for a moment, and imagine all the ladies in this congregation doing this, and quite honestly, they looked ridiculous. And I stood aside, and I thought, what are they going to do? These airmen have pistols. What are they going to do? And they all stood there. It was like a Mexican standoff, I believe. They just stood there looking at each other. Now, I was at the side. And gradually the women were inching towards the plane, just an inch or two at a time. And the people at the back were pushing the girls at the front. And they were gradually moving closer and closer. It was so interesting. Suddenly there was a squeak, a squeaky of a bicycle coming along, and the policeman got off, and he was at least 60, 65 years old.
"Well, now, he said, "what's going on here?"
That was a silly question. Everybody could see what was going on here. If I could see it at the age I was, he could see it at the age he was. But he just walked up to these men who one of had a pistol out and the other couple more, I don't know how many, but they had their hands on their pistols. They were ready to do business with these women. And he said, "Well, no, you're under arrest." He didn't speak any German. He just said, "You're under arrest." And he went to the first man and took his pistol away from him. The second, the third, the fourth, or however many, he took their pistols away. And the women got very close. And he turned around and said, now, ladies, back off." So the ladies took a half step backwards. And then all of a sudden came a small vehicle full of soldiers with fixed bayonets. And they took this air crew away. And I've often thought about this story. I've often thought about what happened. How crazy were those ladies? But they were without common sense. And I would say the apostle is talking about this. He is saying, what a shame it is that we don't have love that is without hypocrisy. The next Sunday, most of those women were in church. Not with knives, but with Bibles. And with hymn books, and they were singing. And they sounded like the saints of God. They sounded like a choir of angels. But all I could think of was they just a couple of days ago, what did they think they were going to do with those knives and things? There were ladies with scythes that they'd gotten out of the garden shed. And it was just funny. Why can't we love without conditions? Why can't we approach this business of love and say, in effect, I must get away from evil and I must find good, and I must hang on to good. And good must work in my life. And I must hate evil. I must get rid of the camouflage that I allow on my faith. The hypocrisy that comes. You ever thought of anything like that? It's so interesting that we are stripped to nothing. God sees us as we truthfully are. And we need to understand there is no camouflage between us and Him. Do you love Him? Do you really love the Lord Jesus? Or is there some hypocrisy in there? Sort of, kind of, maybe, perhaps. Or are you altogether in love with Him who loved you and gave Himself for you? Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. We ask that you will bless and look after our people that are farming, and that you will give them safety in their endeavors and reward them with a good harvest. But we ask you above all things that you will place in our hearts a love so transparent and so beautiful that Jesus Christ, our Savior, will be seen in the things we do and say and believe. Bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we have a hymn book.